Sahel area. The story was told by a missionary, Del Terre, who served 14 years in West Africa with the Mission Agency. His story points out the sacrifice some people pay to sow the seed of the gospel. I was always perplexed by Psalms 126 until I went to the Sahel. That vast stretch of savanna, more than 4,000 miles wide, just under the Sahara Desert. In the Sahel, all the moisture comes in a four-month period, May, June, July, and August. After that, not a drop of rain falls for 8 months. The ground cracks from dryness, and so do your hands and feet. The winds of the Sahara pick up the dust and throw it thousands of feet into the air. It then comes slowly drifting across West Africa as a fine grit. It gets into your mouth, it gets into your watch, and it stops. And this is what the harmattan looks like. And that is dust. And when the winds pick up across the Sahara, it moves across down to West Africa. And we experienced this. We were there, and so did John and Juanita. When you were there, you know exactly what I'm talking about. And it looks like a fog, and it's not moisture, it's dirt, it's dust. And it stays there, it just hangs there. And we were in the southern part of Ghana, so we didn't experience it as much as those up north. And it got very dry, and sometimes the harmattan would come in the fall, sometimes it would come in January, it would hang around for maybe 2 months or so. It didn't get really cool. It blocked the sun. In fact, the natives had on beanie caps and coats. But it was still maybe 70 degrees or so, but it was just a lot of dust got everywhere. And up north in the Sahel was even worse yet. One of the things that happened is, in this story, I'm going to continue. The year's food, of course, must all be grown in these 4 months. People grow sorghum or milo in small fields. October, November, these are beautiful months. The granaries are full. The harvest has come. People sing and they dance. They eat two meals a day. The sorghum is ground between two stones to make flour. And then a mush with the consistency of yesterday's cream of wheat. The sticky mush is eaten hot. They roll it into little balls between their fingers, drop it into a bit of a sauce, and then pop it into their mouth. The meal lies heavy in their stomachs so they can sleep. December comes. The granaries start to recede. Many families omit the morning meal. Certainly by January, not a one family in 50 is still eating two meals a day. By February, the evening meal diminishes. The meal shrinks even more during March, and children succumb to sickness. You don't stay well on behalf of a meal a day. April is a month that haunts my memory. In it, you hear the babies crying in the twilight. Most of the days are passed with only an evening cup of gruel. Then, inevitably, it happens. A 6 or 7 year old boy comes running to his father one day with sudden excitement. "Daddy, Daddy, we got grain!" He shouts. "Son, you know we haven't had grain for weeks." "Yes, we have," the boy insists. "Out in the hut where we keep the goats, there's a leather sack hanging up on the wall. I reached up and put my hand down in there. Daddy, there's grain in there. Give it to Mommy so we can make flour, and tonight our tummies can sleep." The father stands motionless. "Son, we can't do that," he said softly. "That's next year's seed grain. It's the only thing between us and starvation. We're waiting for the rains, and then we must use it." The rains finally arrive in May, and when they do, the young boy watches his father, takes the sack from the wall, and does the most unreasonable thing imaginable. Instead of feeding his desperately weakened family, he goes to the field, and with tears streaming down his face, he takes the precious seed and throws it away. He scatters it in the dirt. Why? Because he believes in the harvest. The seed is his. He owns it. He can do anything with it he wants. The act of sowing, it hurts so much that he cries. But as the African pastors say when they preach in Psalm 126, those who sow in tears will reap with songs of joy. He who goes out weeping, carrying seed to sow, will return with songs of joy, carrying sheaves with him. Brothers and sisters, this is God's law of the harvest. Don't expect to rejoice later on unless you have been willing to sow in tears. And I want to ask you, how much would it cost you to sow in tears? I don't mean just giving God something from your abundance, but finding it a way to say, I believe in the harvest, and therefore I will give what makes no sense. The world would call me unreasonable to do this, but I must sow regardless in order that I may someday celebrate with songs of joy. This is what Mission Faith Giving is about. It's giving not out of the abundance. It's giving to missions that says, I believe in the harvest, and I will give by faith when it makes no sense. Mission Faith Giving, this concept or principle of Mission Faith Giving comes out of 2 Corinthians 8 and 9. And I talked about this last week. I read the two chapters there in 2 Corinthians 8 and 9. It is giving that is above our tithes and is designed primarily to support missionaries who have gone out of the congregation in full-time mission work. This concept was introduced by a man named Pastor Daniel Ong, who's from Malaysia. I met him when we lived in Ghana. He was living there about 8 years, been a full-time missionary all his life. And I've just been encouraged by this concept as he began to explain to what it is. In fact, we taught this at Crusade for Christ Bible Institute. We were involved with an organization called Crusade for Christ International. And we had an institute there. We were training pastors for church leadership. And so we were teaching these pastors on tithing and mission faith giving, because when they planted the churches, we had three goals. One goal was to be self-governing. The other was to be self-propagating, which means a continuation of planting churches. And the other was self-supporting. And so, for example, we had Pastor Stephen who came to the school. He had a year diploma training there. And we planted him in a village called Edesso. And he started the church there. And he would begin to groom a prospective leader, and he'd send him to Crusade for Christ Bible Institute, and he'd be sent out to another village to start another church. Church planting, I find, is one of the most effective ways to evangelize, and that was sort of the concept that we used there. The funds for mission faith giving can also be used to support mission organizations or mission projects. This is determined by your mission board of the congregation or the leadership of your congregation that will help guide these funds. What's interesting is one statistic indicates that the average Christian in America gives 50 cents a week to foreign missions. And that's rather interesting. While total Christian donations are high, only about 6% of the church donations go towards missions. And only a tiny fraction, 1.7%, reaches unreached people groups, with most funding staying here locally. Now, here in New Covenant last year, 38% of the money coming through our treasury went to missions. That's way above the average, which is encouraging. I'm glad to hear that. You know, what's interesting is I'm not sure what Abba Father feels about Christians who live in a country that is 5% of the world's population, yet consumes 25% of the world's resources, and only gives 50 cents a week to foreign missions. I don't know what his heart feels. Dr. Oswald Smith brought to light the biblical teaching of mission faith giving for missions. He was a pastor of the People's Church in Toronto, Canada, where he challenged his congregation to give $1 to missions for every dollar they spent on themselves. Growing up, in my 17, 18, one of the places we hung out was the Pizza Hut in Ephrata. It was just down from Huber Aldo Sales, right across from the Staples. Now I think they've gone out of business. But in there they had a little machine called Pac-Man. And I loved to play Pac-Man. And I would shove quarters in the Pac-Man machine and play Pac-Man. I still love to play Pac-Man. We went to a children's museum in Indianapolis when they were children. Guess what they had there? Pac-Man. It was free. So I played Pac-Man. And I was shoving these quarters into this machine. And finally I got convicted of how it was wasting my money. See, back then, we didn't have your Wii games and Xboxes and YouTube. I don't know, all the boxes you have nowadays. And so I got convicted and said, okay, God, every quarter I put into the Pac-Man machine, I'm going to give 50 cents into the offering. I quit Pac-Man pretty quick. How about us? Are we spending a lot on ourselves? and that God would like to use for his kingdom. Something to think about. Mission faith giving is a way to develop spirit of graceful giving. In 2 Corinthians 8:7 says, "But just as you excel in everything, in faith, in speech, in knowledge, in complete earnestness, and in your love for us, see that you also excel in the grace of giving." Another verse in chapter 9, verse 7, "Each man should give what he has decided in his heart to give, not reluctantly, not under compulsion, but God loves a cheerful giver." You know what I found God's heartbeat is? It goes, people, 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 people. When you give to the heartbeat of God, it opens your heart to give in other ways. When congregations have incorporated mission faith giving into the congregations, what I find is that the general giving goes up as well. I've seen this happen in Ghana. I've seen it happen here in America. Where churches, where they began to implement this concept of giving to the heartbeat of God, the general offering went up as well. One of my pastors there in Ghana, he went to send one of his men, Barnabas, to Benin to plant a church. And his mission faith giving was $70 a month. Now in Ghana, you don't make the income like you do here. And so $70 a month doesn't sound like a drop in the bucket, but that was a lot for that little congregation. And his general giving was $140 a month. But he challenged his congregation, the pastor did, to support Barnabas to go to Benin through his mission faith giving. It was amazing. The mission faith giving jumped from $70 a month to $140, but his general giving also went from $140 to $280. Pastor Ong, who is a mentor of mine as we lived there in Ghana, who also introduced this concept, and he would share this with pastors, and pastors said, "It's not going to work because people are going to give to mission faith giving instead of giving to the general giving." And he says, "I don't think so. I want to challenge you." And he challenged a pastor, and the pastor called him sometime later and said, "Wow, this is amazing what God's doing." And I've seen it even here in America as well. You know, not only does general giving increase, but when we give to the heartbeat of God, it gets us focusing outward, not inward. And it begins to draw us together. As we begin to focus on our neighbors and our community and those around us, what it does to our own lives, what it can do to our own congregation. 2 Peter 3:9 says, "God wants everyone to be saved. It's his will, none perish." Let me ask you a question. What would happen if we would make a goal this year to mentor one person to a relationship to the healer, Jesus? What would happen to New Covenant Midnight Fellowship? What would happen to the churches? You know what? Most people today aren't going to come to Jesus as a sinner needing a savior. They're going to come to Jesus as a hurting person needing a healer. We can say to people, "Jesus is the answer, Jesus is the answer." And our culture is asking, "What's the question?" Because our foundations have been destroyed by secular teaching, and we've lost the foundation of the Word of God. You know, you go back 7 years, you say, "Jesus is the answer," people knew what you're talking about. But today they don't. And people will come to Jesus as a healer for their hurts in their hearts as we reach our people around us and wherever God calls us. What is mission faith giving? Mission faith giving is a way of giving to world evangelism. Rather than waiting to respond to individual appeals as they come along, believers ask the Lord how much they should give to missions per month for the next year. Then they commit to that total as a faith giving. Mission faith giving thus makes giving to missions strategic rather than sporadic. What it does, it involves hearing from God. You pray and say, "God, what do you want me to give to missions for the month?" And we commit to that. It's not called mission pledge. Some people call it mission pledge, but a pledge tends to be horizontal. A person makes a pledge for a building fund or a church project. And if the money doesn't come in, someone is usually come knocking at your door and, "Hey, remember the pledge you made?" In mission faith giving, nobody will come to you and say, "Where's the money you pledged?" Because it is something between you and God. The mission board here does not keep track. If you participate in Mission Faith Giving, they don't keep track of what you give because it's between you and the Lord. Mission Faith Giving makes giving to missions strategic rather than sporadic. Strategic meaning that there's a system in place set up which allows people in the congregation to give money each week that gives towards missions. In other words, you hear God, you pray, and praying and hearing from God precedes the giving. Many churches will give sporadically to missions. And what happens? It often happens when a missionary comes around to the church and he shares about his need and his work that he's doing, and the offering plate goes around, and suddenly we reach in our pocket or wallet because we might feel a little guilty. This guy needs money, so we give a couple dollars into the plate and say, okay, we've done it. And what happens is that that missionary goes from there, he leaves, and will go on struggling to try to raise money to feed his family. Wonder, does God really care? Being on the mission field, I've heard the cries of many missionaries who come back home and they traveled thousands of miles to raise money for their next stint of the mission work. And they come back on the field exhausted. They come back on the field closer to burnout. When going home on furlough was a time to rejuvenate, a time to reconnect with families, a time to be filled to head back on the field. Instead, they're spending lots of time traveling, trying to make money to support their next stint of their ministry. The better you support a missionary on the field, the longer they'll stay. I'm not referring to just financial support, but to prayer support, words of affirmation, encouragement, staying connected with your missionaries. Member care for a missionary is important. I remember when we served there in Ghana, somebody would give us money, and I'd take a day out a month and take our family to go out to eat and go to a local pool at the motel. A lot of motels there. We'd knock on the door, hey, could we use your pool for the day? And yeah, go ahead. And so we'd spend a day swimming together with the family and just spend a day together because somebody gave that we could do that. Another time in the last 3 years of our time there in Ghana, somebody gave us money, and we'd go out to Takoradi, which is the western part of Ghana, to a resort called Buswa. And we'd go there during the week because it was quiet, nobody was there. And we'd spend that week there at Buswa. It was nice. It was at a place, there's no cell phone reception, nobody could get a hold of me. And so we could be with the family. They provided continental breakfast, so we would, Marilyn and I would go for breakfast, and the boys stayed back at the cabin watching cartoons or something like that. But it was just a fun time that we could rejuvenate from our time there. It's because somebody gave to support us. I remember one time, Michelle, and if you remember this, Michelle, you were there. She came. She worked with Lighthouse Ministries in Cape Coast, which is west of Accra, where we stayed. And one day, Michelle came in and stayed with our children while Marilyn and I went to a local motel, very nice motel down on the oceanfront. It was interesting. We met President Kufuor that day as we went into our motel. He was in there eating. Had the opportunity to meet him and chat with him a little bit. But it was so nice to have, you know, Michelle come and just stay with her children to allow us to just spend some time together. You know, is support like that, that means a lot. And being able to have people to support us on the field was tremendous. And our church, we lived in Goshen at the time, and our church took care of our needs while we were there in Ghana, which really was a wonderful blessing because we came home on furloughs. It was a great time to reconnect and rejuvenate with our family. Is there a scriptural basis for mission faith giving? Well, mission faith giving makes us channels of blessing. In his covenant with Abraham, God said that through Abraham's descendants, all peoples of the earth would be blessed. Remember, that was the Abrahamic covenant. I referred to this last week. It was a way of Abraham said, God bless me so I can bless others. He became a channel by which the funds flowed through to other people. Mission faith is more than just one can afford. What's interesting, remember the Macedonian church last week? I talked about the way they gave, the condition, and their spirit. It was extreme poverty in the Corinthian church during Paul's time, but it says they gave generously. They gave willingly. They gave cheerfully to help meet the needs in Jerusalem. And, you know, the whole part of giving to mission, remember last week I had a statistic, during the Great Depression, the Americans the average American gave 3.3 away of their income, and today it's 2.5%. I thought, wow, that's rather interesting. We're not in a Great Depression at the moment. But our giving came out of their heart, their cheerful giving. It was interesting. Mission faith giving reflects our personal commitments. In the Corinthian church, they excelled in faith, in speech, in knowledge, in complete sincerity, and graceful giving of finances. Who should give to mission faith giving? Well, I think everyone, including children and youth, may have less money than adults, but it's helpful to train them in systematic giving and faith living. You know, there would be envelopes provided for children. If your child is here and like to participate in this, there are envelopes. You can contact Dan, and he will help get an envelope to you. You can have your own number system. And they can be a part of it as well. But I really encourage parents to motivate children to work to raise their own money and give to missions. When we lived in Ghana, when we started applying this, this was new for us. We started doing it as a family. Our home congregation wasn't aware of what this concept was at that point in time. That came later on. But what we would do for our children is that, since we lived in an 80 by 100 compound, and there was no grass, and so how are you going to raise funds in a foreign country? So what we would do is that we'd have them, if they read 50 pages in a book, because reading is good for children, we give them 30 pesewa. Now, pesewa is like cents in our currency. We give them 30 pesewa for 50 pages they would read, and out of that they would give to mission faith giving. Because it's not the amount you give, it's the heart in which it's given. And if we can teach our children, our youth, how to give to missions, that one day when they become businessmen, they will have a heart to give to missions as well. So mission faith giving is not just for us as adults. It can be something you can teach to your children and to your youth also. Well, what is the relation between mission faith giving and paying a tithe? Mission faith giving is over and above the tithe. Tithing is a clear scripture principle dating back to the earliest pages of Genesis. Tithing recognizes God's ownership over me and all that I have. In practical terms, tithe money runs local church and its ministries. Mission faith giving is a way for us to give specifically to reach the unreached of the world. It tangibly expresses my desire that the whole world knows the good news. Mission faith giving is giving that goes to missions, which is beyond the 10% of our tithe. It's giving that's done between you and God, and it's given by faith. You pray and you hear what's on your heart. You know what's interesting is that a lot of people, and there was a statistic I gave last week, people who tithe will often give above their tithe to other mission organizations and to the work of God. Because when we open up our heart in giving, it opens up our heart and give in many other ways as well. How do we get the funds to fulfill my mission faith giving? Well, sometimes maybe God may increase your income. I had a pastor in Ghana. As again, we would teach this. We teach it at the Institute and also with the pastor we work with. I had a pastor there who he felt that he should be giving all his income to mission faith giving for a period of time. That's a big step of faith. I'm saying, man, Lord, please don't call me to do that. But he did. And in that time frame, I gave him a pay raise. He didn't know it was coming, but I gave that to him. And he lived on that to the end of his committed time. Sometimes God may decrease your expenses. One person shared a testimony of noticing little things in which God reminded them that there it is, he's providing. They had a child, had a bad tooth, and they wanted to take it to the dentist and get taken care of. And they tried to make the appointment, but it couldn't get in right away, so they had to wait. Interesting enough, that tooth fell out, and they have to go to the dentist after all. And they said, you know, that was the way of God just taking care of us and providing for our commitment. Another way God may lead you to is to sacrifice in your, maybe somewhere in your own financial end, and being able to give to help build the kingdom of God. I'd like to have Jim share. Jim, if you would, share a little testimony of your journey, if you would, of how God took care of you in your mission faith giving. So go ahead, Jim. You want to stand and just share that?
I find it interesting at the outset, if you go on down in 2 Corinthians 8 there, or verse 12, I think it is, it says, if there's first a willing mind, it's accepted according to what a person has and what not what they don't have. And that has kind of been a principle that kind of grabbed me a number of years ago. And when the whole mission faith giving thing started here at New Covenant, Carol and I, we talked about it. And yeah, it's like, well, how in the world are we going to do this? You know, because we got this, and this that goes out every month. And it's like, okay, we're gonna take a step of faith and we're going to do it. And it's been long enough that I don't exactly remember all the details of when the increase came along. But when once we committed to that, a certain figure, within a short period of time, my wages went up. The mortgage company at that time, we had a mortgage on our property, and they contacted me and said, hey, you know, your payments are never late because they're on automatic payment. I mean, it was just deducted every month. So they dropped our interest rate by about 3 points. And there was some other stuff that happened over that period of time, and when we got to looking at it, it was the amount that we had figured that we could maybe try to meet. And there it was. And so God again proved his faithfulness. It reminds me of the old story of the farmer who always seemed to have plenty, even when times were a little tough. And somebody asked him about it one day, and he said, well, here's the long and short of it. He said, you know, I shovel into God's bin, and God shovels back into my bin, and God has a bigger shovel. And so that's kind of a faith builder there. And also one more little story. One of my daughters was scuffling financially. And this goes back a number of years, because they've all been out of the house a number of years. Mm-hmm. But there was the car bills and this expense and that expense, and it just seemed like, you know, the head was always chasing the tail. And I challenged her one day. I said, are you giving God what belongs to him? And she said, Dad, I can't afford to. I said, daughter, you can't afford not to. Mm-hmm. I said, if you're gonna hold that kind of an attitude, the enemy's gonna see to it that you can never get started, that you can never afford it. Mm-hmm. And didn't think much about the conversation after that. As I recall, I didn't keep on her about whether or not she was doing it. But she said to me one day, a couple of years later, she said, Dad, it works. Mm-hmm. And so we give God the credit for that. But God has shown his faithfulness, even in the midst of trying times. And we praise him for making a way at times when there seemed to be no way.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Jim, for sharing that. And that is a challenge because we have car bills, furniture wears out, cars wear out. And what I find is we think, well, we'll just wait till we get out of debt. We got our mortgage payment made and got the car in good condition. But I find if I wait till that time, I'll never give because there'll always be more and more breakdowns, more and more things to repair. Thank you, Jim. Do I commit to mission faith giving before I get it? Mission faith giving is a faith commitment. Commit only what you believe God wants you to give through you, then trust God to be faithful in providing for the commitment. It takes thinking from the heart rather than from the head. I find God's ways are contrary to our natural thinking. His ways are higher. They're different than my ways. His thoughts are higher or different than what God's thoughts are. Our congregation here, we started practicing mission faith giving back in 2010. And it has been a challenge. And I was mission board chairman for about 6 years. And I remember coming to a meeting, and our mission faith giving was really low because we support 100% the needs of our missionaries that are sent out from New Covenant. And I came to the meeting, and I was concerned about the low funds, and to try to meet the monthly needs of our missionaries. And I began to raise that concern, and I shared my lack of faith. I'm going to be vulnerable here and honest, but you know, sometimes, even though I'm a guru in this, I get challenged in my own faith. And in that meeting, I was concerned. Hey, board, how are we going to meet this need? And a mature, godly, fearing man named Will Allgaier, you remember this, Will? I don't know if you remember it, brother, but Will spoke up and said, Ray, it's by faith. This is faith. Thank you, brother. You probably remember that meeting, but that blessed me. And you know, I think the mission board has always been able, since 2010, to meet the needs of our missionaries on the field. Is that right, Jason? I think I'm right on that. God has always come through in helping to meet the needs of supporting our missionaries. Mission faith giving involvement says that you believe world evangelism is vital to accomplishing the mission of the church. Mission faith giving is to help support our missionaries in a full-time way. It is true that we are to make missionaries even in our going. You know, the Great Commission is Matthew 28:19. It says, go into all the world and make disciples of all nations. I've been told the original Greek language really says it this way, in your going, make disciples. So whether you're a truck driver, you're a farmer, a construction worker, whatever you're doing, make disciples. My question to you is, are you doing what you know God is calling you to do? Mission faith giving can be used to support missionaries in local missions as well. It's a discernment that comes through the mission board of the church in helping to direct that. Mission conferences are great ways to encourage the heartbeat of God, and that's next week. We're going to have the missions conference. It's a great way to, what I say, it's a great way to create a spark or fan the flame. And what is so interesting, as I was serving on the mission board at that point in time, a lot of missionaries coming out of this congregation, as we began the process to prepare them to go into their place where God was calling them, we would ask them, how did God call you into doing what you're doing? They said it was the conference, the missions conference we had here at church. Now, if you remember when our son-in-law Daniel was here and sharing, it was Daniel and Amber. They're now serving in Greece. They've been there since 2020. And he shares that he was here at the missions conference, I think it was back in around 2017. He said to the missions conference where God spoke to them and to go into missions, and they're still there serving in Greece. Mission faith giving involvement says that you believe the gospel can change lives. You hear from God, you move forward in faith, believing God will provide. If income drops off, then God wants to demonstrate his power through your life by supernaturally meeting your need. And I like Eric, would you just share a testimony in this, in your own walk and what God did on your journey?
In 2010, Ray brought these series of messages on mission faith giving, and that it's a part of, you know, it's a faith that you make a commitment to. And so my wife and I discerned in September, and we prayed and we made a commitment to mission faith giving. In October, I was fired and didn't have a job, didn't know what was going to happen. But God continued to provide. He continued to be faithful through someone that used to attend here, provided an old truck for me, a 12-year-old Chevy truck that I could afford to purchase. And another brother here, Drew, called me and said, you want to help me on a roof? And I was like, sure. So I was anxious to meet Drew and his crew, and I got there and shook his hand. So it was a crew of Drew and me, and we did a roof. And just, you all have, you know, hired me through the years, occasionally here and there, and appreciate the support. And God has provided. He has been faithful, 100% staring at the unknown of losing your job and something you've done for 13 years. And all of a sudden gone. And yet he was faithful in that. Mm-hmm. So just praise God again this morning.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Eric, for sharing that of God's faithfulness as you continue to trust him and say, God, we're going to do this. And sometimes he decreased it, but he showed himself faithful in that. You know what's exciting, church? Is when we step out in faith, what God shows us to do, we do that in faith, it builds our faith. To see God work and see him move in beautiful ways and says, that's God. And last week I mentioned Malachi 3 and our tithes, where Malachi was accusing the church, you've been robbing from us. How? It's your tithes and offerings. And then it says, test me in this. And it's the only place you find in Scripture where to test God is in our tithes. How do I begin mission faith giving? God will help pay the amount that we committed to. How do I begin mission faith giving? Study the Scriptures. Jesus says the harvest is great, but the laborers are few. 1 Peter 3:9, God's will, none perish, but all come to know him. That's the heartbeat of God. It's people. Total up your giving for missions from last year and see where it's at. And maybe this year you want to try and increase that total by a reasonable amount is what I encourage you to do. It's to look at that. Where are we at and where you're giving into missions? Prayerfully consider the amount you faithfully purpose to give. And that's found in 2 Corinthians 9:7, that we should give what God has put on our hearts to give. Let me just say this. This might be a new concept for some of you. And some might be sitting here and saying, Ray, it won't work. Then I encourage you, don't practice it. You keep praying about it. Keep talking to God about it. But if you're saying, I don't know about this, then just give it some more time and keep praying about it. Because mission faith giving is optional. It's not a command. It's not something that if you don't do it, then God's going to yank your salvation card. No, it's not that. It's allowing God to speak to us and to give to his heartbeat. Pray and ask him what you should do. I had a pastor in a church, when he first introduced this concept, only 4 to 5 people started to practice it at the beginning. And that increased to about 80% of his congregation are now practicing the mission faith giving. And in your giving, I encourage you, if you're married, to do it together as a husband and wife. If one spouse says, yeah, I don't know if I agree with this, and the other spouse is gung-ho and say, let's do this, honey, and the other is, I'm not sure, then I really encourage you, give it some time, especially the one who wants to. Just pray that God would work in your spouse. Or sometimes the spouse who wants to participate and the other one doesn't, and they're okay to bless the other one to do it, follow through with that. But I really encourage, make this decision as a couple and move together as a couple in your giving. Do not be surprised as to what God lays in your heart and step out in faith. The next step is as you determine what God wants to do through you, fill out a mission faith giving card, which indicates your faith commitment. And this is in your bulletin. So here is a sample copy of in your bulletin. And what I really encourage you to do is that to take this home with you and you pray about it for a whole week. And then next Sunday we come back, bring this paper along back and just put it into the offering basket bag as we're taking the offering. And that way, it's a way of committing to what God's laying on your heart to doing. And so I just encourage you to take it, give it some time. Maybe you have a child who'd like to participate. Encourage them that way. We have extra cards out in the foyer that you can pick up. Or if you're here and you don't have one, just pick one up out in the foyer and take it with you. Why do you need to sign my name if this is a commitment I'm making to God? Signing your name is optional. However, indicating name and amount allows you the opportunity to express your faith and commitment is a way of saying to God, I'm all in. I think by signing a commitment, it helps to add more seriousness and sincerity to your commitment. So I really encourage you just to give it some thought and to pray about it. And then bring that card back in next week and put into the offering basket. Number 9, how often do I give my mission faith giving? Give regularly if you can, because missionaries need regular support. And there are envelopes for this. So we have an envelope here for the general giving, an envelope for mission faith giving, and you can get both. They're both available. Talk to Dan Keener. He'll help you with that. I think they're in the resource room. You can pick them up. And if you need a number, there is a place here where it says commitment number. If you need a number, talk to Dan, and he can give you a number. It coincides, the mission faith giving and the general giving number coincide as the same number. So if you're interested in that, please reach out, and we'll be glad to help you. Is this a pledge, and will I be notified by my progress? This is a commitment to God, not a pledge to the church. Your mission faith giving amount is between you and God, and no one will notify you or keep track of your progress towards your commitment. Now, generally, we make these commitments once a year, and I'm really encouraging the mission board or leadership here to take one Sunday a month, one Sunday a year, and just present the reminders of the mission faith giving commitments, maybe have a missionary speak or have a message focused on mission that Sunday, and then give out these cards and collect them the following week. Again, even though I talk about this and I believe in it, there are times already my faith has been challenged. I remember one Sunday when Pastor Dave was leading here, and he took a Sunday to talk about mission faith giving, and because they're going to renew our pledges. And I must confess, I looked at the amount, I looked at my bills, I looked at, man, can I afford this? And I struggled. And Dave shared a message that really challenged me. And we continued on with our mission faith giving, not knowing I was going to get a tax refund, nice size tax refund, to help meet the need that I committed. And, you know, it just goes back again to showing when God prompts, and I follow that, how he will help meet that need. Mission faith giving is important for us as a mission board and as a leadership to embrace the concept, because it helps produce enthusiasm in the congregation and continue to practice it. How long does my mission faith giving last? Generally, commitments are made for about 1 year. Now, sometimes you can do it less than that, and that's okay. Maybe there's 6 months or so you want to do, but you decide between you and the Lord. What is the advantage of mission faith giving? One of the major advantages of giving to missions on a per week or per month basis is that you can give far more to missions that way than you can by giving one or two big sacrificial gifts per year. Mission faith giving enables you to give to missions in amounts that reflect what you like to do. It enables you to reach out to the unreached on a regular basis rather than just one or two special occasions during the year. And sometimes it may be that there are other special offerings are taken, and that's fine too. That's determination by the leadership of the church and also of the mission board. You know, I mentioned Pastor Ong, who is a mentor of mine, but also a missionary there in Ghana. He was sent by a church in Singapore. There was 900 people at that church, and their monthly giving to mission faith giving was $75,000 a month. And they were sending out missionaries all over the world. His brother-in-law, Rick Seward, was a pastor of Victory Family Center in Singapore. It's one of the largest churches in Singapore, about 6,000 plus members. And they were giving out about $3 million a month to missions and supporting missionaries around the world. I was amazed how the work that they were doing and the people they were sending all around the world. How do we discern the voice of God? Well, as we're praying about it, God can impress an amount on your mind. You also may look at your giving to missions over the last year and increase that by a reasonable amount as well. Number 3, as a husband and leader of your home, God use your wife to help you discern as a couple. Now, one of the things that my wife and I do is as we're praying about a need, and we might say, honey, you sense a need here? Yeah. And we'll pray about it. Sometimes you discern on the moment. But if you give it some time to pray and we come back and I find that, honey, what's God in your heart? She says, 200 we should give. And I'm thinking, well, I was thinking 400. Now what do you do? How we missed each other in that. Hers is 200, mine's 400. And if we say, well, I'm the leader of the home, so it's going to be 400, then she doesn't feel why she needs to pray. And I don't know why my amount is always higher than hers, but anyway, that's just how it is. No, what we do is that if she says 200, I say 400, we go in the middle and go with 300. And that's how we discern God's will, and we go with that amount. So maybe just an idea there for you as you're trying to discern that. I was sharing that with someone about how we do that, and even how do we discern what God wants us to give here. And he said, well, Ray, maybe you should add the two together. So if she says 200 and I say 400, you should make it 600. Wow. What a challenge. I haven't gotten to that point yet in my faith, but that's just how we would do it. I'm going to share some faith stories. I'm not sure how many of you remember this picture. If you look closely, on that picture is Dave and a pastor named Pastor Felix. Now, we lived in Africa. We lived there from 04 to 09. And at the Institute, we have a two-week mini term, and we invite a pastor to come from the States to help with the teaching those 2 weeks. And Dave came over. This was around 2007, I think it was, that he came there to teach at the Institute. And then on Sunday, we went to Pastor Felix's church. And he was meeting in an uncompleted house, which is often common. And his church was growing, and he needed a place to have a church, a meeting place. And if you look at this project, see, it took it up, took the walls, and the pillars are there. And they needed to put a roof on that so they could have church in there. Dave came back and shared with his congregation. He just told them about this project, not trying to raise funds at all, but in the congregation there was a gentleman. I don't even know who this is. Maybe you're sitting here this morning. I don't know who it is. But as he was sharing this, this person in the congregation, the Holy Spirit prompted him and said, I want you to sell your car and give all that money to help complete this project. And the guy started arguing with the Lord. He said, Lord, is this really you? And he said, okay, God, if this is you, I'm going to put my car for sale one day. If it doesn't sell within that day, I know it wasn't from you. He put his car for sale, and it sold that day. And the money he got was exactly what was needed to complete that project. Praise God. It's beautiful. And I bless that man. If you're here this morning, I don't know if you're here, but I'm going to bless you. Because not only did God meet that need, this is what this place looks like today. Pastor Felix has a school there with 300 students, kindergarten through eighth grade. And they do one feeding a day. And this is some of the classrooms. They cause a small plot of ground, they go high. You know, it's cheaper going high, right? It's free space. And so he built a three-story school where they have school for 300 students. This is the church. They meet in the school in one of the rooms. This is the room where the church meets. But the church is growing so rapidly, they are now, here they bought a plot of ground close by to the school, and they're building a church. So right now, these are pictures I just got this week from. I just talked to Pastor Felix this week. He just sent me these pictures just this week. This is Pastor Felix and his wife, Dora. Today is her 60th birthday, and I really appreciate this man. I just enjoyed working with him. What is interesting, behind this picture, I don't know if you see this picture of this couple. This is Pastor Daniel Ong, the man I've been talking about. This is his wife, Connie. Now, Connie is a fourth-generation missionary kid. Her great-grandfather was contemporaries to Hudson Taylor, who was the founder of missions in China. And her great-grandparents served in China and has an amazing story. When the Japanese, during the war, were moving into China, a lot of the missionaries were coming home, and they decided that God called them to stay. And they stayed in China, but they suffered in the prison camp because of that. Amazing story there. Pastor Ong has been a missionary, full-time missionary all his life, planted churches in Los Angeles, Washington, Japan, Ghana, and I really have appreciated our relationship with him. In closing, pray about Mission Faith Giving this coming week. Put a mount on the commitment card and respond next Sunday, only if you sense God's leading. Again, I'm hoping this morning there's not a sense of you're feeling pressured. I want you to feel pressured. I want you to feel invited. I want you to feel drawn. I want you to feel wooed into doing this and not out of compulsion at all. I wonder what would happen if New Covenant would make a goal to send 10% of its members into full-time mission work. What would that do for us as a congregation? We have approximately 220 members, including baptized children. That's 22 people from here in full-time mission. What would that do for our congregation? Just a thought. If you're sensing God's calling you into missions, let it be known to the mission board. They'll come around you. They can help you with logistics and prayer and financial support. I'm not sure who you are, but just be in prayer, saying, God, here we are. I'm available. And I'm not sure. There's a lot of people who made Jesus Christ their Savior, but they haven't made him their Lord. Lord means boss. That's what it means. And I want to ask you a question. Have you ever surrendered everything to the Lord in your life? Your family, your children, your occupation, your business, your money, and say, God, I'm all in. Whatever you want, I will go and be and say whatever you want. I did that back when I was 20 years old. It happened on May 26, 1985. I'm dating myself a little bit. But it was such a monumental encounter with the Lord that really changed, impacted my life. Because back in those days, my goal was to be a farmer. And high school, took all the ag classes I could. I had the Hordes Dairymen. I had dreams of farming. And then I sold out to the Lord in May, and it was 2 months later. My dad was one of the founding fathers for Terry Hill Menlo High School. And he and two other men had a vision for Menlo High School in their area, and they bought the old Voltec School from Garden Spot High School. And he was part of the board, in fact, he was board chairman. And he came and to my room one day, said, Ray, would you consider teaching at Terry Hill Manor High School this fall? About fell over. I'm glad I was sitting down. And that step changed the course of my life. And so, I don't know where you're at, but I want to encourage you, sell out to the Lord. Say, God, whatever you want, I'm all here. Let me say this, in the Mission Faith Giving, if you have been giving to support missions and missionaries, you are just as important as the person on the front lines. I just want you to be clear on that. I know of a man who probably win more people to the kingdom of heaven indirectly than I will ever directly, and that's my father. My dad lived a life to give, and he would give and give. And his heart was for missions and Christian education. And I remember one day in the business, we have five-finger discount problems. You know what I'm talking about, right? And this one guy stole a pair of shoes underneath my nose. I didn't handle it really good. I was amateur and being a detective. And I was very frustrated. And I went to my dad and I told him the story. I told him how frustrated I was. He said, Ray, it's okay. This is God's business. The more we make, the more we give. It's all right. And that's the life he lived. And I believe there's many people in heaven shaking my dad's hand and saying, Irvin, because you supported missionary Joe is why I'm here today. I want you to know that you're just as important. If you're giving to mission, you're just as important as a missionary in the front line. I'm going to bless you in that as well. Lord, I just ask you take what we shared this morning and you just use it. This is about your kingdom. It's your work. It's not about us, not what we've done. It's all for you, Lord. And God, as we seek your face right now and even this week on what you want us to do for your kingdom, whether it's through mission faith giving, maybe it's serving in the front lines, Lord, I pray that you would move in our hearts and our hearts would be yielded and surrendered, that we can hear your voice in this process. In thy name we pray. Amen. Carson, come lead us aside.